Hello, and welcome to episode 78 of Design Curious Podcast. I'm your host and mentor, Rebecca Ward. Today on the podcast, I have a great interview with Marozi White. She is a designer who is local to me here in Sacramento, and we will often cross paths and get together for the monthly meetups that I organize, and we get together with other designers to talk about our business practices and just get support for each other. And so I've always loved hearing about Marozi's process of taking her clients through her projects. And so I thought it'd be great for her to share here, as well as her origin story, which I'll tell you a little bit more about her in her bio. Marozi White is founder and principal designer of Accent Design and Interiors, a full-service interior design studio based in Sacramento. She is a native to a beautiful country of Malawi and moved to the United States as a teen to attend university. While practicing interior design was always a passion, her career in the field of interior design does not begin until 10 years after graduating university with a degree in marketing and management information systems. She returned to school to get her degree in interior design and began to pave way into the field through teaching at the Art Institute of California. After 8 years of teaching, she established her full-service design studio and enjoys working with a diverse clientele. She has experience working on residential and commercial, restaurant and hospitality, senior living, office, and retail projects. She holds a true appreciation for the value of feeling supported through major changes. Her philosophy for design is rooted in community, rich cultural inspiration, and functional solutions that enhance connection and inspire joy. So let's talk with Marozi about her career and her process of taking her clients through her projects. And just a quick reminder before we get to our interview with Marozi, that you can find all the downloads in the show notes. Just scroll down and click on the links and you'll get some great information on the career of interior design. And if you are looking to work with me a little bit more one-on-one, then sign up for my design mentor. All right, now let's talk with Marozi. You're now listening to Design Curious, a place where you, creative one, are here to learn about what it really is like to be an interior designer. And I'm your host and mentor, Rebecca Ward. If you're worried about how to succeed in a creative career, if you're ready to learn your next steps to become an interior designer, and if you want the satisfaction of doing something you love every day, you are in the right place. Grab a coffee, a notebook, and let's dig into today's episode. Hi, Marozi. Welcome to Design Curious Podcast. So great to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me, Rebecca. I'm so honored to be a part of your podcast.
Yeah, and you are also in my design community locally, so I get the privilege of seeing you at all of the designer events. So it's a lot of fun, but I don't really know a lot about your path into interior design. I know you did teach Art Institute, but before that, how did you even get to become an interior designer? Let me know.
Yes, my path is quite interesting and one that is full of adventure, I like to say. And so I moved to the United States when I was 16 years old from Malawi, and that is my native home country, and primarily to come to college and university at 16. I attended Yuba College in Marysville, mainly because I knew a friend of mine who was attending school there, and so that's how I was able to come to Yuba College and select that area for school. Okay. And then after finishing up my junior college there, I transferred to Chico State. And while at Chico State, I studied marketing in my bachelor's program, and then went on to do management information systems in my master's program. And so interior design wasn't really on the radar at that time. I felt like I needed to study something else before I got into the opportunity to get into going back to school to study interior design.
Can I ask you, did you have an inkling that you wanted to be a designer, like a passion for design or interest in interiors at all before you went to college, university?
I didn't. I think I wanted to study business-related courses. But it was only a few years after I started like university at Chico State that I just had a knack for doing design. I felt drawn to that field in general. You know, I liked color. I liked the idea of planning spaces and being creative in that regard. I think the passion for design just sort of came into the picture, but initially that was not something that was always on my mind, on my radar, but you know, I've been passionate about design ever since.
Mm-hmm. Did you know anybody who was going through the design program at Chico State?
I did not know a single person who was doing any interior design at the time. Yeah, my main focus was just to get through that, you know, marketing degree, and then ended up going into the management information systems kind of program. I have to say that where I'm from, doing a field that is creative or working in a field that's creative is not one of those things that is like the number one priority. Like when we were in school or high school, they don't instill go to school and get a creative design degree and do interiors. They really emphasize do accounting, do business, do all that, those other areas of specialty, because that's how you're going to be able to make a living.
Sure.
And so that was really the focus when I came here to college, was to do those things. But I'm so grateful that I had that opportunity to lay a foundation in business management, the IT field, because I use those skills every day in my design business now.
Great. Yeah. Okay. So eventually, after doing information management and marketing for a while, then you decided you really wanted to follow interior design. So you went back to get your degree for design?
I did. I went back to get a degree in interior design from just a program that focused on interior design. And it's a 2-year program. And so it's an associate's in interiors. That's what I have.
Yeah.
So collectively, those 3 degrees have helped me carry on in this field.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. A bachelor's and a master's. You didn't really need to get another bachelor's in design. So that's great. So then you also were teaching interior design for a time. And how did that come about?
Yeah. So when I went back to school to get my associate's degree in interior design, I wanted to start to dabble a little bit in the field. And so the best way that I felt was not fully committing to it, just to still get a sense of what practicing in the field would be like, I had an opportunity to start teaching a business-related course at the Art Institute of Schools here in Sacramento. And so it was business-related because I had the business and degree background. Mm-hmm. And so it was appropriate in that regard. And so I just fell in love with the rest of the design courses while I was teaching that business class. And as I was talking with other faculty members who are really teaching the creative business class, you know, design classes. And so before I knew it, I was a lead faculty in the program, and I was teaching introduction to interior design and then commercial design and the drafting courses. A lot of the more introductory courses is where I started a good portion of my teaching career. And my intention was really to just teach for 1 quarter business class. And then I said to myself, I don't know if I can continue to do this. And before I knew it, I was there for 8 years.
Yeah. Oh. So you saw a lot of people come through that program. I don't know if Art Institute has a lot of people directly out of high school, or if it's more of like a lot of people coming from a career change into design and finding that an approachable program. Did you see a mix of both?
You know, I did. We did get a lot of students coming into programs straight from high school. And the recruiting efforts even for the school were focused on high school. But we also got quite a few people coming in into the field of design or to study design as a second career, or coming back to school to do something different. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And so we did have a combination of students that were looking to get educated in interior design from those different diverse backgrounds.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. So you quite understand where our audience is coming from. Also, because you've changed over careers yourself. And so I'm sure you have some great advice for people who are looking to get into interior design. And I would definitely say probably your recommendation is to pursue interior design academically first. That's a great foundation for the career, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think that having just general knowledge and exposure into what you can expect in the field as a whole is very, very important. And it's not just doing the creative and beautiful things. There's so much more to the field of design, as you know, that is important, having a foundation of understanding just general business sense, even just marketing, you know, go into it and be your own principal designer for your own business. All of those things now come into play, and you have to have some just general basic knowledge, I think, of how you might be able to manage your business as a whole, you know? So it's very helpful as a foundation. Of course, there's so much more you get to learn as you start to really practice.
Right.
Get into the field, as you know, but it doesn't hurt to have a little bit of background.
For sure.
Foundation.
Yeah. So after a while, say 8 or 9 years teaching, then you went full time into your own company, right?
Yes, I did. After 8 years of teaching, I decided to fully immerse myself in practicing interior design. And so I established Accent Design and Interiors, LLC. We're a full service design studio here in Sacramento.
Great. And you do both residential and commercial. Is that correct?
Yes. We do both residential and commercial projects. They really range from just a whole house reconfiguration projects, kitchen and bath remodels, furnishings, custom furnishings. And on the commercial side, we work on some senior care projects, planning spaces for restaurant and retail spaces, office spaces. And alongside with that is also getting all of the furnishings and finishes come along to put together a complete and finished space. Mm-hmm.
How do you decide that a project is a good fit for you, your company?
Yeah, that's a great question. And of course, I feel like we've all learned a little bit on the hard way with some of that, determining what is a good project. But we really base it off of when we're doing the initial onboarding process with our clients. If we have a really good rapport with them up front, communication seems to be a little easy and flowing well. If we're really excited about the project and what that scope looks like, that's one of the things that we use to determine if it's going to be a good fit, reasonable timeline on starting the project and completing it is one of those other things as well. And of course, overall investment from the client side, what they want to invest in this project in order to get that final look and feel that they're going for. So that's really all important to us as we're working and on projects or determining if certain projects are going to be a good fit.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a particular niche or aesthetic that you lean towards as you're considering a client to take on?
We don't. I like to keep things open. I think having the teaching background that I do, because I taught not just residential interior design or commercial or the drafting related courses or design software courses. I taught the history of architecture and interior design courses, which I have to say were like two of my favorite courses to teach, because then that gave me the exposure and the knowledge of like all the different designs from ancient Egypt all the way to mid-century modern, that full gamut of design that we do. We have some knowledge and some background and some base foundation of understanding of what all of those designs cater to in terms of finishes, in terms of color palette and style aesthetic in general. And so, no, I like to keep it open. I think that my personality is so much that I want to do it all and do, you know, work with all the different styles of design. I think it keeps it interesting for me, you know, And there's always something new, I think, with the different styles of design that you can really learn from. And my core foundation for my business is all about just education and learning and community, and I feel, and culture. Mm-hmm. And I feel like having that diverse background still keeps those things current and present at all
mm-hmm.
times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, I can definitely understand just wanting to do it all. And that, and history of design and architecture is one of my favorite courses as well, just learning about all of that. So yeah, I can relate to you there. So yeah, even in our groups locally, I've always been intrigued about your design process. I think that it's refreshing. The way that you do your consultations and take your clients through is a little bit different than what I do. So I'd love to have you share kind of your process and how you do that.
Yeah. So our design process, I feel like, has been that work in progress, right? Mm-hmm. Over the years, when you first start out as a new designer in the field, you may be going by that book, a specific list of things that you need to cover. And those are important. But every client, as you know, is just so different. How they're going to interact with you, how they're going to communicate with you, the way they're going to respond to your the design in general, how you need to articulate your vision for their design, for the project. It all varies depending on kind of that client. So there's a little bit of fluidity with our process in some ways, but in general, we do the initial programming meeting or in the very beginning, and we go to the client site and take a look and walk the job and see what they have in mind and really do a step-by-step walkthrough of their spaces. We ask them what works for them and what's not working for them, and try to kind of connect those two to what that final desired outcome is going to be. And then after that, we get into the contract negotiation process and connecting that scope to what their budget is and what it's going to take for them to retain our services to assist them in their project. And once that is all, there's a go ahead with that and everybody's still excited, we get going with really the design development phase and get the drawings done, get the site measured, create those as-built drawings. And then we start to really pull everything together. We allow our clients to interface with us really from the very beginning, as many designers do. There's a level of involvement that we are comfortable with having our clients be engaged and involved in the project as we're going through. But we try to articulate and really clearly state that we would love your input at this phase of the project. You know, please allow us to work on setting everything up from this time frame to this time frame. And then there's a lot of collaboration and team communication that happens throughout the rest of the process and during the implementation as well. There's a lot of guidance, really, that one-on-one guidance that we believe is just very important for that project to be a successful project in the end.
Yeah. Okay. So you allow your clients to have a lot of collaboration after you've like kind of worked a little on the initial design process, then you kind of bring them in. And do you do frequent meetings with them, or like, are you giving them kind of updates and along in different stages?
Yes, we do. We try to break up the meetings in a couple of phases. So we'll do the initial drawings and we'll have a meeting after that to share the conceptual and the design direction. And at that phase, we'll have an idea of like color palette and finishes and a direction for finishes, but it's not all finalized at that initial meeting. Then we come back, we get a sense of what their reaction is and if they're really feeling like we're going in the right direction. Then we'll do several other meetings after that to really finalize finishes for the flooring and maybe all your paint colors and then your finishes, hard surface finishes, etc. That would be like another meeting. Then we we get into all of the bids and the estimates and kind of making sure that the budget investment is going to be line up with what our labor partners are going to want to require in order to implement, and everybody who needs to get paid, yeah. Right? That's usually a separate meeting and a little bit more detailed meeting. And then we move on to more of the decorative. I feel like it's so much easier to get your hardware lined up and dialed in and all the really decorative finishes and maybe lighting once a lot of the heavier lifting materials and finishes and all those things have been established. Mm-hmm. So then we'll do like another meeting for things of that nature that are more decorative, artwork and related. Over the years, one thing we've learned about doing it this way is that it breaks up the meetings to be shorter meetings when we do meet, because mm-hmm. their attention span and their ability to absorb all this information and a lot of what is going to be happening is a lot easier. And we feel like they're a little bit more engaged and a little bit more still focused mm-hmm. by the time the meeting is done. When we do smaller meetings, they're paced out. And then they can kind of keep up with what, you know, what is going on and what's in the plan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it just makes it easier and it's a lot more fun. We've just found that our clients feel a little bit more engaged. Again, we're very, very much into having them feel like seen and heard and invested mm-hmm. in the process just as much as we are. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
But at the same time, communicating that this is where we want to kind of take over a little bit more. We would love for you to pull back, or mm-hmm. we want you all full in mm-hmm. at this phase. And we're going to just kind of manage that process as we're moving forward.
Yeah. And you provide project management services as well once the design is decided upon?
Yes, yes, yes. We do full service from conceptual design all the way through project management implementation.
Great. Well, it sounds like your clients really enjoy your process. Yeah.
We hope so. I mean, the reviews have been good so far.
Yeah,
good. So something's working.
Yeah. How long does it typically take you to take a project through? Like, I know you probably have multiple projects like most of us at a time. So to give a client a timeline for like when you first meet with them to when they're going to have their design completed, how long does that usually take your company?
Completed, like implemented, finished?
No, just like to the design phase before they get the permit or whatever, the ground.
Right. For the conceptual related, the things that we have control over, I would say we're about a month out time frame from the time like we meet and or the time that the contract for design services has been signed and the deposit has been issued. Mm-hmm. So we're about a month out because we like to still try and have some idea of what costs are going to come in for that mm-hmm. design proposal. So we're not presenting something that is not going to be affordable in the mm-hmm. end, mm-hmm. right? So we'll do just some initial interfacing with our vendors, our suppliers, our trades. Where are we going to be with plumbing for this type of design or cabinetry for this mm-hmm. kitchen layout, et cetera? And we finalize those numbers later on once we've had the opportunity to meet with our clients and then review what that proposed is.
Yeah.
So about a month out, I feel like gives us just enough time to get drawings done, get an idea of a color palette, design direction, and a little bit of numbers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so that month is the kind when you ask them to hold back and like you're not meeting with them at that time. And then after that, do you meet with them like every week or try to keep it on track or every 2 weeks? Or does it kind of depend?
And then after that, our meetings are really based on a couple of things. Would be if we have to go through the permitting process, then we'll just plan those based on how quickly we're moving forward with other parts of the project mm-hmm. that still need to happen. So perhaps a contractor is now working on his overall estimate mm-hmm. and he's taking 2-3 weeks mm-hmm. or whatever. Permits, if there's engineering that needs to happen on the project, we're waiting for those, our trade partners, to get some of that work going. But so maybe every month there will be at least a design meeting in person.
Okay.
If not a meeting in person, it would be a design update mm-hmm. as we're moving along with just keeping them informed that here's where we are. We're still waiting for these things, or these things have come in, but mm-hmm. we can't meet just yet until these other things come into play. So they feel still connected to that yeah. project. Even if we're not meeting in person, there's at least a design update that yeah. happens.
Yeah. That keeps them like yes. more interested in the fun parts while you're waiting for the contractors who are taking their time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's the contractors. It's such a fine balance in working with everybody, right? Mm-hmm. Your trade partners, your vendors and suppliers, yeah. and your clients. And so that's why the relationships and the overall sense of community is so important, right?
Yeah. yeah. In,
balancing all of those acts and having mm-hmm. everything come together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And even communicating that initially to your prospective client and like how they don't realize how many balls they have to keep up in the air when they have a project going on, and that the designer is the person who can do that for them. And so
yes.
it kind of communicates that value.
Yes, absolutely. I can't tell you enough, Rebecca, with just some clients as we're getting closer to finishing some projects. I'll do a luncheon with a client if, you know, mm-hmm. things are really great.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes you just want to be done, right? You get yeah. it. But we'll do a lunch, and at lunch, in just the general conversation, I've had them just share with me without me even prodding for that question or answer. And they just say, I do not know what I would have done without mm-hmm. you. I just had no idea how involved a project of this nature would be and how much time it required for all of this communication and interfacing and things like that. And they're just, the relief on their face is like,
so
oh my God, thank yeah. you so much.
Yeah.
So that's fulfilling. I know how you and I feel about,
yeah.
you know, when you really get a sense of like what you've done and how you've helped has made a big difference mm-hmm. in all of our clients' lives and stuff. Mm-hmm. This is why we do what we do, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. It gives you all the warm fuzzies. And you're like, yes, I made a difference in someone's life.
For yeah. sure. For
yeah. sure. And I know not every project runs smoothly. So how do you handle challenges when they come up on your project?
So we try to get ahead of some of the areas that we feel may be a challenge or may come up. And a lot of communication, we really value that so much in just open communication ahead of time. And then also when things do come up, an on-site meeting with the individuals who need to be a part of this conversation. We ask for that and we will make that happen. And then we just walk through some options and mm-hmm. for solutions at that point. We felt that really works well. And it also shows the clients that we all genuinely care about coming up with a resolution, you know, mm-hmm. for the yeah. areas that are of concern at the time.
Yeah.
And they're looped in. Our clients, we ask them to be a part of that meeting too, so they can hear the actual conversation firsthand
mm-hmm.
and offer their thoughts about, if any. Some of them just say, well, we trust that you will come up with a solution that'll work, and others will fill you in. They'll tell you exactly how yeah. they're feeling and what they're thinking. And then we share what a final solution is going to be. This is mm-hmm. the direction we're going to go in. Just pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. I really believe in just clear communication, consistent communication as a way of mitigating some issues and challenges as well. And then high standards. We have really high standards for all of those individuals working with us on our projects or partnering up with our projects. And so we try to communicate that upfront. And just say, we want to do things right. We want to do things the first time. And we want to be good stewards of our clients and their financial investment. Mm-hmm. So like every effort to work towards that or keep that in mind as mm-hmm. everybody's working on the project is really important. And we try to instill that up front as well. And so that's why we partner with people that we believe care about that as much as we do, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it makes it easier to work through some of the challenges that are going to come up because they're already on that same page and mindset that you are in terms of how they need to work on this project and how they need to communicate on the project as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you use any software for your communication with clients? Like, do they have a portal or is it just like email and checking in with them throughout?
Yeah, email. We do a lot of email, a lot of calls, conversations, because I feel like it's just better to convey some of the things in a one-on-one conversation.
Yeah.
Like verbal. Yeah. I still believe in a lot of.
Just pick up the phone.
School.
Yeah.
Conversation goes a long way, right? And so we'll use whatever means that makes sense, I think, for the time.
Mm-hmm.
That calls for the time. But email is great. We are in the process of implementing a new internal management, overall project management system. With that, we're going to incorporate the client portal and you know, these other platforms that need to be a part of our process. And so, yeah, we're working on that as that new thing for 2024. Yeah. But we're just going to adopt what we've been doing in the past into this new platform because that has been working for us. Hopefully it'll just help us streamline this a little bit more.
Yeah, really good. Yeah. And I think especially with some of the clients that maybe you have, I have, like, they're our age or older, and they really do appreciate that phone call sometimes. It just, like, they don't want to text, they don't want an email, they just want to talk to you, you know?
Yes. And that conversation, I also feel I always just check in and I ask, so how are we feeling about everything? And I mean, they'll tell you how they're feeling about the dust and the noise and the inconvenience, and they can't get to their faucet in the kitchen anymore. Now they're washing sinks, their dishes in the bathroom sink. And so it helps us empathize with them and just really assure them that, oh, yes, we know what you're going through and how that is really translating. But we finish it up with something positive and say, your space is going to look amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to love it. And you won't even remember any of this that you're going through now, right? Once your space is done and is finished and you're able to entertain and host and just love being in your space. We find that goes a long way. So that conversation is not just to share some bad news, but also to just help empathize with them a little bit more. Let them know we still got you.
Yeah.
And hang in there with us.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's really wise too, because it gives your client a chance to air their grievances of, like, how challenging it is to live through a remodel, because we all know it is. But that, and that they're complaining to you and hopefully getting it out of their system and then not having to tell everybody how terrible it is.
For sure. Right. Yeah. Because every homeowner has heard that horror story, right?
Yeah.
A remodeling horror story of some sort, whether it was a friend of theirs or a relative of theirs and their interaction with a contractor, a trade person or a vendor, supplier or designer. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And almost everybody knows, has heard of some story.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's nice to kind of try to be a buffer with some of that and, like, get ahead of it again. Yeah. Let's, like, check in. How are we doing?
Yeah.
I just have a bathroom going on now over the holidays. It's a 2-bedroom, 1-bath house. Mm. And so it's their only bathroom. Now they're having to go use the porta potty that's just right outside their porch and patio. And it's winter outside. So
oh, man.
I called them last week and I said, how is first day of demo? How are you feeling about everything?
Like, get it down.
Shower at my mom's house, which is down the street, which is for them.
Oh, that's good.
They actually have that opportunity.
Yeah.
And I said, doesn't it feel like college again? You got your little caddy and your stuff that you gotta carry for the next 5 weeks over to your mom's house to shower. So we got a good laugh at it.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, thank you so much for checking in.
Yeah.
And so
Help them keep their eye on the prize of a beautiful bathroom at the end of it all.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Marozi, for sharing your process and your path. It's just so interesting. I loved hearing about it. And where can people go and find you if they want to check out your portfolio?
Thanks so much for having me. This was a lot of fun. I'm glad I was able to share what my background is and what I do now. So you can find me on my website. I have a pretty extensive website with projects and the portfolio of work that I've done there. And then it also talks about the process and just an overall general essence of what my business is about. And that is accentdsgn.com is the website. And I'm also on Instagram, working on that. 2024. So working on posting more and doing a little bit more social media here, but I'm at AccentDSGN as well on Instagram.
Okay, great. Yeah. We'll put links to those so people can go check it out. And just thanks again. And I look forward to seeing you at our next local event.
Thank you. I look forward to it as well. And I'm looking forward to hosting this year as well.
Yeah, I know. So that will be great.
I am so excited for this year. Thanks so much, Rebecca.
I really appreciated her taking us through all the process that she does with her clients and just answering all my questions. I was naturally curious about her process. And so I like to hear what other designers do, see what works for them. And because I'm always trying to learn and adapt just like you and learn new things and see if there's something, some way that I can do things better. And that's part of the reason why I put together our local design group to talk about our businesses, because you never know what is working for another person. And we don't always have a place to talk about our practices and see what's working, what's not. So that's why I love coming together monthly with other Sacramento designers to talk about our business. So if you're in Sacramento, just send me a message and let me know if you want to be a part of that group. We're always looking for more designers to support and to be supportive of our business practices. All right. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. I will have another great one for you next week. And until then, stay creative. Thanks for listening. If you love this episode, please leave a rating and a review. This helps me reach other curious creatives like you. If you have a topic request or would like to contact me, simply head over to my website, rwarddesign.com, or email me at podcast@rwarddesign.com.